Our Heavenly Father, we pray tonight in Thy holy name that You'll take the living words of this book, cause them to be living in our hearts and minds, O God. O Lord, that we will heal. O God, that we will heal. That we will heal You from heaven. O God, that we will heal the words of Your book, and that we will do them. I pray, Holy Father, tonight that You will build, O God, a fire in every bone. O God, cause a burning in the marrow of our bones, that we cannot forbear, but to speak the things of God and to love Thee and to praise Thee. O God, drive us to our knees. Give us a spirit of intercession. Give us a heart to care about Your work. Oh, the plan of God. Oh God, cause us, oh God, to move on new wings of faith. Help us, oh God, tonight through this message to make decisions, to trust God and walk by faith, that it might accomplish something grand in Your scheme. Now, Holy Father, I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon both Your servant that speaks and Your servants that hear the word. Anoint and actionize Thy servant. Feed Thy servant's mind. Give me freedom of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Cause the word not to return void. Oh God, but the laden, the ships of the hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. The title of my message tonight is Add Works to Your Faith. The book is James, if you'll turn there quickly, please. The chapter is 2 and the verse is 14. Add works to your faith. 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 James 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Faith itself cannot be seen. Works based on faith is seen and proves the existence of faith. The only way people can see faith in you is by your works. That proves your faith. And if you do no works, they don't see any faith. Faith itself does nothing. But repentance based on faith does accomplish something. Confession based on faith does accomplish something. Prayer based on faith does accomplish something. Testifying based on faith does accomplish something. Preaching based on faith does accomplish something. Ministering in song based on faith does accomplish something. Doing God's will based on faith does accomplish something. Exercising patience based on faith does accomplish something. Faith itself does nothing. Verses 15 to 17. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and the Greek is meaning not having proper outward clothes, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Now, many people would think that might profit. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. being alone. Dead faith stands alone. That's what that verse says, doesn't it? Dead faith stands alone. Therefore, dead faith is something. Nothing can stand alone. Have you ever seen nothing standing by itself? Dead faith is faith. He says it's faith. It's a certain classification of faith. It's dead faith. It's not no faith. Because no faith can stand. This is dead faith. Dead faith that says, according to these verses here, I believe that God will take care of you. You're visiting in the home. I believe He will take care of you. I have faith for you. I have faith that God will take care of you through others. I have faith that others will supply your needs. So you go and be clothed and warmed and taken care of. On the basis of my faith that God will take care of you. That faith accomplishes absolutely nothing. Even if you have faith, it accomplishes nothing. It's a dead faith that produces nothing. Deadness always produces nothing. And according to this verse, he says it produces nothing. Now you see, well, what if another takes care of them? It's their living faith that caused them to be clothed. In other words, it's their dead faith converted into living faith by a decision of the will to put legs to the faith, to give life to the faith, and produce something. It's works added to the faith, which makes it living faith, and then something happens. It's not because of the other person's dead faith. It's only because of their living faith. Now, dead faith is a judgment of truth that's in our minds. That's what dead faith is. I believe that God can heal. I believe that God will have a bride. I believe God is one, demons say, and tremble. The Greek is God is one. And tremble. But demons are not getting anything from that dead faith. It's not a living faith in which they're glorifying God in. It's a judgment in their minds. The same judgment that we have. Living faith is our will put to our judgment of faith in action. In other words, you believe something. That's dead faith. You decide to act on it. That's living faith. Assuming that you begin acting on it. Dead faith never won a battle. It won't win any battles in your life. You have all this theology stored up here. It will not win a battle. But I believe it won't win a battle. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man? Vain? You mean it's vain? It's all in vain? As far as accomplishing anything, all your dead faith, all your learning is in vain. But this is a super memory. I mean, I've got such an enormous amount of college notes right up here. Vain. Vain. Unless you use them. Marvelous if you use it. Vain if you don't. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? College notebooks without works is dead. Knowledge of how to do something without doing it is dead. God can heal me, never produced healing. God will heal me, has produced healings. Dead faith is necessary, for it's the basis of living faith. But alone, it will not suffice. Let's read verses 21 through 24 and 26. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? God saw the son of Abraham on the altar. Isn't that right? And God counted that him surrendering his son to God. according to the commandment, giving it up, making a sacrifice. Supposing he had never seen God's son, though, I mean Abraham's son. Supposing Abraham never showed up. And God came to his tent and said, Abraham, yes, Lord, I thought I told you to sacrifice your son on one of the mountains that I will show you. Oh, I did, Lord, in my heart. I had faith. I did already. I've done that. I didn't see it. Oh, I've done that. Think I would have accepted that? No. Faith is to inspire you to do something. That's what faith is for. So you'll do something. It's not for itself. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Can you see that? It isn't that I have faith, but it's faith with the works that made the faith perfect. Because the faith wasn't perfect, meaning complete, without the works. If I have faith right now, the building's on fire. It's not complete without the works. It's not made perfect, because I'll burn to death in hell. It isn't just good enough to have faith that the building's on fire. The building's on fire. It's not good enough to have faith that the building's on fire. The faith is to inspire me to move my legs out of hell. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it, that is the faith, was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So your faith without any works following is just like your body with no spirit in it. It can't accomplish anything. The reason for the body is to house a spirit that does something. The reason for faith is to have works follow that does something. Many Christians are living below the privileges, and because they have got dead faith instead of living faith. The average Christian in fundamental, evangelical, and Pentecostal churches is weak spiritually. And he's largely non-productive because they have dead faith and not living faith in most areas. And that's the truth. They have a mental ascent, but they have no works following the faith in all these different areas. Now, of course, they do in some. The prodigal son found himself in a pigsty. And there feeding the carob beans to the pigs, he knew, he had faith, that his father was still living there on the farm. And there they had plenty and hired servants. He had faith for that. But it did not encourage him. It did nothing for him. It was a dead faith. It was a faith in which produced nothing because it did nothing. It was a faith by itself. My father is wealthy, and here I am in the pigsty. Never did a thing for him. Of course, that's first step to living faith, and it's important, for it's the raw material from which living faith is made. You've got to have dead faith before you can have living faith. But when he said, I will arise now and go to my father, and I will say unto him, and he had a speech all memorized, and he rose, the scripture says, and went. That was living faith. That was dead faith in action converted into living faith. And every step of that living faith took him closer to his father's house to receive what he had believed was there. Dead faith could not bring Goliath down. I know that God can defeat him through me. I just know it. And I'm here in the tent talking a big game. Oh, I can slay him. I mean, with the spirit, you ought to see how fast I can slay him. I mean, with the spirit of the Lord on me, I could slay that. I could take him down. I could show him a few things. And so, well, why don't you, brother? Well, now, you know. But make a decision. Based on that living faith, I know that God can use me to bring him down. And I therefore am going in the name of the Lord, because there is a cause in Israel, believing that God is with me, and he wants me to do this, and he will be with me. And so here I go. That is living faith, and it brought the giant down. Dead faith cannot deliver us from demons. Well, I know God, I believe in this deliverance. I mean, don't get me wrong. See, I do believe in this deliverance move. That's nice. You got dead faith. That's good. What are you going to do about it? Not a thing. Then your dead faith will produce nothing. No deliverance. You have to decide, and therefore I will put action behind my faith and will get delivered. Dead faith cannot obtain a love relationship with Jesus. Oh, I know it's possible. Oh, I do believe it's possible. But do you believe it's for you? Well, I know it's for a lot of people. Do you believe it's for you? Well, I know God has it for us. Do you believe it's for you? Well, I know it's for me. I know it's for me. Well, shall we do it right? Shall we come right now? We can do about it. Well, I believe that someday he'll do this. You know, someday, that's always someday. It's always someday. Never comes to pass. Never comes to pass. Life is paved with good intentions. Some people die with good intentions. But dead faith, dead intentions, produces nothing. A lot of people kid themselves. They say, oh, I've got faith. I'm loaded with faith. I have all these good intentions and all this good faith. Not worth a dime. Not worth a dime. Not unless you spend it. Money not spent is worth nothing. Some people feel so rich. They die with, you know, the million. They eat, you know, eat beans all their life and pick and scrape and all this, and they die with $1 million. And boy, I was rich. No, you were poor. You were poor. You lived like a poor man. You got one of the benefits of a poor man. You could have had $1 million less and lived the same because you never spent it. The balance not spent is just as though you never had it. Your treasure could have embezzled it all and put it on the books. You would have been just as happy, and you would have gone along just as well. You're no richer than the money you spend. And you're no richer than the spiritual money you spend. Dead faith cannot bring joy. Only living faith. Only if you begin to enter into a love relationship can you have a love relationship. There's no way you can lay in your bed and fantasize about you and some lover and ever enter into a love relationship with them. You have to put action behind that faith, if it's faith and more than fantasy, in order to have a love relationship. If you want a love relationship with Jesus, you have to do something more than believe in it. You have to act according to your faith. You have to begin and start loving. Start action. You want to fall in love with somebody? You say, boy, you know, I'm getting old and I need to fall in love. I need a wife. I need a husband. Well, if you need a wife, you got to do something about it. Men, hear this. You can't go on forever. You got to do something about it. So I need a wife. You've been saying that for 5 years. Well, I still need a wife. Well, then you better get your eyeballs open. Start looking around. Start having fellowship with them, getting to know them, finding out what your heart needs and who meets your needs and so forth, and get it down to the altar. Not to pray. You get that far, and I'll help you the rest of the way. You got to do something about it. Living faith results in emotion felt concerning dead faith. You have a judgment in your mind. That's dead faith. And you begin to put works behind it, and you begin to feel the emotion of what you believe. See, dead faith feels no excitement about God's promises. But you start to pray, and start to praise, and start to anticipate, and make decisions and actions based on God's promises that you believe, and feelings of excitement arise. Sure. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. I believe that. What do you feel? I don't feel anything. But you get out and start witnessing, believing God, and saying, Lord, I'm expecting right now you to give me anointing and power as I witness. And I'm believing you to feed my mind and give me the answers so that my adversary shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and begin to bring scriptures to my remembrance, and give me the words, and I come to you, and Lord, save their soul. Show me what the heart of the matter. Show me his life. And now, Lord, I pray for him, and I'm coming now in the name of the Lord. I'm appropriating your power. Now, here I am, Lord. I'm at his door. I'm knocking now. Lord, just give me a peace. Just quiet my nerves. Hello, Mr. Daly. And he doesn't know that your knees are smiting. And you go on in, and you sit down with him, and you open the word. And now, you see, you can begin to feel the emotion of it and the excitement of it, and you begin to see it coming to pass because you're doing something. God never anoints you before you start. He anoints you as you do. A lot of people standing around waiting to get the anointing before they start. What you need to do is do, and he'll anoint you as you do. Now, it is true that you can be anointed as you pray for something. You can feel the anointing as you exercise the faith for it. But you stand not exercising any faith, and you won't feel anything even in prayer. Now, the first step to convert dead faith to living faith is what? A decision. A decision. And because the power of decision lies within us, all dead faith can be converted into living faith if it's in God's will. Now, that's a wonderful truth. That to convert dead faith to living faith, dead faith you get by reading his word and all the other things you learn, the method in which you learn, and you can convert into living faith, and you do it by decision of your will, and the decision of your will lies within you, and then you'll have living faith. That's quite wonderful. That means it's in your hands to get living faith out of dead faith. The faith of the of Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, is living faith. In every case, the heroes of chapter 11 took action based on the faith. Otherwise, they would have said, by faith so-and-so did nothing. He believed it, but he did nothing. By faith, so-and-so did nothing. He believed, but he did nothing. By faith, somebody else did nothing. But because they did something, they could tell about the faith because the faith was proven with results. Now, question. Why did Israel complain against Moses, against God, and against circumstances? They believed God could sustain them. In fact, God proved it many times. And even after they proved it, they still doubted. Why? They had faith that God could take care of them in the wilderness. And the reason is they had dead faith. That is, they that believed that God could do it because they saw the wonders he did in Egypt. They saw what he did at the Red Sea. They saw what he did to the Amalekites and at the bitter waters of Marah. Certainly, from that point on, they should have no trouble believing God. But they did. because they had dead faith. In other words, they did not decide to trust their lives to God. Regardless of thirst, hunger, circumstances, they didn't say, Lord, I know you can do it. Now, on the basis of my knowing you can do it, I now decide to believe you will do it. I decide to believe you're not a liar. I decide to believe I can trust myself into your hands. I therefore decide to trust myself into your hands. No matter how thirsty I get, no matter how hungry I get, or how weary I get, you made a promise that we would come into Canaan's land. I therefore am going to believe that we will come into Canaan's land, and I'm going to trust myself in your hands, and if I die in the wilderness, I believe you'll raise me from the dead and carry me on, because if I have faith with you, faith will never be disappointed. If they did that, they would be in Canaan's land in a matter of about a month after they left Egypt. About a month. They would have never have stopped and had the tabernacle. They would have waited until they got into Canaan to do that. Only reason they needed the tabernacle because they were going to spend 40 years, their entire life in the wilderness, and they had to have a church and a priesthood to carry them on. 1 month was changed to 40 years because they had dead faith without works. Now this is the problem that's hindering Christians today. They've got faith, but they're not putting it on the line and trusting God with it. Well, we get testimonies to come. And they admit this after they have converted into living faith. They say, I never believed I could be different. They never believed they could be different. Now, that's not what you call living faith. That isn't even dead faith. That's reversed faith. I didn't believe that I could be in the bride. I believe in a bride, but I never believed that I could be in it. No wonder you weren't living like a bride. You have to have living faith. If you believe I, like the sister testified, I am the bride of Christ, you just say, oh my, I better put on this nice robe because I'm the bride of Christ. Oh my, I must not get dirty because I'm the bride of Christ. Oh, I've got to please him. I got to get ready because I'm the bride of Christ. But if you think, oh, I'm not the bride of Christ, I can never be the bride of Christ. I'm just a gardener around this joint. You will not act like the bride of Christ. You will act like the gardener. You'll rise or fall to the level of your affirmation. Now, why did Peter deny Christ? You see, well, that's easy. Feel. Why? Why did he feel? I mean, Jesus was there. He had all power. Jesus told him so. He'd seen him do mighty works. Why did he have fear? Lack of living faith. He knew he could protect him, but he didn't decide that he would. Therefore, he was scared to death. Therefore, he denied him. Now, why don't Christians today deny themselves and take up the cross and follow him? You see, selfishness. Yes, but why are they selfish? Well, they're unwilling to die out. Yes, but why are they unwilling to die out? Lack of living faith in God being all they need. And because they don't have faith that he'll be all they need, they're unwilling because they don't trust him. And so then they become selfish because they are afraid to be anything else. I got to protect myself because I'm afraid God won't. See, behind all these other things down here is dead faith producing nothing. And therefore you're trying to make up for it by some other way. God's not going to take care of me, I better. Now no man can walk on the water or walk up to Goliath with a sling until he makes a decision to step out on his faith and trade his reason for God's reason, and to trade his kill of himself for God's kill of himself. That is, till he decides to put everything in the hands of God. This is converting dead faith to living faith. Deciding, Lord, I belong to you. I'm your problem. You've now inherited a problem, me. And I'm your problem. And it's up to you to take care of me. If you ask me to do this, here I go. And it's up to you to see it through. If you want it through, you see it through. If you say jump and I leap, it's up to you to have a place when I land. And if you're God and you care about me and you called me and you got a job for me, you've got to see me. You've got to make me land right. You can't make me land in my head and kill myself. It won't accomplish your job. So, Lord, you're going to have something that you're going to have to do now. You tell me what to do, I do it, you're going to finish it. You give me a job bigger than me and I start out, you're going to be the rest of it. You tell me to do something impossible, then you've got to come through as the God of the impossible. And then we glorify him for it. And then we do feel emotions. And we do feel excitement. And we do have a fresh testimony. And we are excited in God. And we have no trouble having faith in God. Because we're seeing it work. Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, the Don Barnett translation reads this way. By faith, Enoch received the pie in the sky. You see, Enoch believed in a pie in the sky and got it. Now, the very fact it says, by, it didn't say by obedience, Enoch was translated. It said by faith. Faith in what? Faith that the tree, leaves in the trees would fall off in the winter? No. Faith in being raptured was the cause of his being raptured. The Bible said so. Now, how? Was it a judgment of the mind? Judgment of faith? How? Did he just say, I believe God told me that he would take me out if I would walk right, and I believe that he will. Or he gave me a prophecy concerning it, and I heard it and believe I will. Or he gave me a revelation, and I believe he will. And is that what made Enoch go up? No. That's dead faith. It was living faith that made him go up. Well, what's living faith? Living faith is he believed that he would be out-translated if he walked with God. And he walked with God. He converted dead faith into living faith. How did he do that? The Bible tells us right here. In the last clause, he pleased God. How? By thinking the thoughts of rapture? No, by doing God's will, God's commandment. He pleased God. In Genesis it says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. He walked with God. Enoch put his faith in operation. Why did he walk with God? Because he believed he'd be out-translated. And therefore he walked with God, so when he got through and God walked along the sand, you'd only see one set of footprints. Because he would put his foot right behind. He walked with God. Because he believed. If he did not have that inspiration to believe, he may not have walked with God. But he didn't just believe. His belief produced the fruits of walking carefully before God so that he might get out of there. Because it wasn't too hot there in the world.
Now you see, what Haney did is made a decision. I decide that if God's going to out-translate me, if I walk with him, I'm going to walk with him. And that produced it. It's all in the decisions. Now I suggest that we decide to deny ourselves and put away sin. And we make a decision to deny ourselves the pleasure of sin, because it's not right before God, and it's going to give the devil more openings, and it's going to hurt us in relation to God, it's going to disappoint God, and it's going to make less spiritual power, it's going to slow us down in the bridehood. Therefore, I suggest we deny ourselves all pleasures of sin, we put it away, and we get delivered, so we get rid of the hassling on it, and we trust God for everything. I mean, really trust him. I mean, putting lakes to your trust, making living faith out of it. And be content for whatever state we find ourselves in. Now, that means in the scriptures, whatever state you find yourself in that you cannot do anything about, that's what befalls you, that's your lot, that's the pack handed to you in life, be content with it. Accept it. You might find yourself with a crooked foot all the days of your life. You have a choice. You can make a decision to grouse about it all your life. You can gripe about it from the day you're born. Not quite the day you're born, but after a little while, you can grouse about it until you die. Or you can decide to be content with it, work around it, and live your life and be happy, content. And that's true with how you look. It may not look like you would like to look. But you should change all you can, and what you can't change, accept. And that's true with anything in life. And it doesn't mean just live around like a hippie and let the cockroaches run over baby. It means to do what you can, but accept what you cannot. Be content with the lot that you find yourself in. I think we have to decide to be the bride of Christ, don't you? I think we have decided to be useful during the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm saying it's coming a latter rain, it's going to produce something, and there's going to be a ministry, and we are to decide that when that man-child ministry comes, we're going to be right in it doing. And when the Feast of Tabernacles comes, brother, we're going to be there singing and shouting and praising the Lord and being involved. And when we get out there and the latter rain falls, we're going to get it, and we're going to minister for God, and therefore we have some preparation to do, and we're going to get on with it, so that as we get there, we'll be as far advanced as we can. I think we need to make that decision. And not waste our time round and round Mount Sinai, down to the bottom of the ocean, back up again, down into Egypt and back, round about, and then finally, 10 years from the day, and you find out you got just got a few years left, and the Holy Ghost is falling. You come crawling in the door and say, which way to the cross? So you're kind of late, brother, aren't you? That was Passover. That was way back though. I'm really ready to go now, folks. I was in Community Chapel 26 years ago at the very beginning. And now I want to testify I'm ready. Well, you might make it by the skin of your teeth if you can avoid the martyrdom. If you go through martyrdom during the Antichrist government, if you can hold out, you won't be able to do anything now, but you might get a baby position in heaven. Because you're not really going to do any great work now. You could have been an apostle, but as it stands now, you wasted all that time because of lack of faith. Some of you could have been a lot more than you are right now. Now, some of what you're going to be 10 years from today will be dependent on what you do today and tomorrow and the next day. It's what decisions you're making. And if you hold off another 6-7 years fooling around before you finally make a decision, and you come in on the 19th wave of the Spirit, you're going to get behind. You ever check in to school late? Got 127 tapes to make up and all of this. It's rough. You're not going to get the same thing out of it. What made God roll back the Red Sea? His love for Israel? No. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. And that included the Egyptians too. God loved Israel when he let them die in the wilderness. So it took more than his love for them, making him roll the Red Sea back. The answer is, Moses had living faith. He had faith in God's promise. He had faith in God's love for them, regardless of the poor spiritual shape they were in. He believed that God would do what he said, get them there somehow. Proof of this is verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. Not by God's love they passed through the Red Sea. God loved them whether they had faith or not. But in one case they would die on one side, in the other case they would go on through. Another scripture talks about faith. It's right here. Let's see if I can find it. Let not him think he shall receive anything of the Lord. What verse is that? David's my concordance out there. Yes, 1:7. Thank you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man that wavereth think he shall make any difference, for he shall receive of the Lord just the same. That's not what it says. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. But doesn't the Lord love him? Oh, yes, he does. But then won't he receive? No. You mean he loves him and he will not receive? That's right. That's what he says. You waver in the faith. Let not Peter think he shall walk in the water when he wavers in the faith. For if he wavers in the heat, that wavers in the faith shall get wet. And he shall not receive, see, you go down. Now, yes, God extended a hand of mercy and grace to him. But on the basis of faith wavering, you receive nothing. According to your faith, so be it unto you. Sometimes God will pull you out of the hole, regardless of your, after you slip and waver. But, if you want, there are many Christians that have died of sickness, that if they had faith in God, would be well. That's true. That doesn't cover all cases, but that is true. There are many Christians that would have had the Holy Spirit if they had believed. There are many people that would be saved if they had believed. See? People are suffering from lack of faith. Now, what caused the walls of Jericho to fall? The trumpets? No. Unity? No. Obedience? No. The answer? Faith. Proof? Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. What I learned in Sunday school there, it was the unity and the trumpets and the obedience that caused the walls to fall down. Well, sometimes you don't get a call to teach you, I guess. But no, that is not what made it fall down. Not what made it fall down. They could have marched around that wall in obedience. I don't believe it's going to come down to you. No, I don't believe it's going to come down. What are we doing here? Well, he said to follow, and I'm following, but I'm obedient. I don't believe it's going to come down. Those walls wouldn't come down. They said by faith they came down, not by obedience. I'm going to blow. Are you going to blow? Yeah, I'm going to blow. And they're not going to make it come down. Oh, we're all in step. You think it's going to come down? No, I don't. You don't. Wasn't there unity? I'm all out there. Except it was a unity of faith. But wasn't unity and obedience necessary? Yes, that's what made a living faith. Without works of faith, it'd be dead. You believe it's going to come down? Oh, I believe it's going to come down. You can go up? Nope, I'm not coming up. I'm not going up. I shall believe it's going to come down. It wouldn't have come down. Faith without works doesn't pull walls down. Now James 4:2 says, we have not because we ask not. Why don't we ask? Lack of faith. Don't believe he'd give it to us. See, we must return to childlike faith. Let me tell you something about a child, about a child's faith. A child's faith is always living faith. A child always has living faith. You tell him, you know, we're going to go to the circus right now. Boy, he's up and moving. That's right. He believes something and he's out doing. He's moving. He's excited. He's bouncing. He didn't just believe it and do nothing. Where have we learned to dampen a living faith? Somewhere along the line, we've lost that ability. I want to read you two scriptures in closing. Philippians 4:6. Be cheerful for nothing. Now, I've got to read this to you like the Greek has it, lest you go out here and drive 120 miles an hour. Shut your eyes and praise the Lord while you're driving, and all the rest, trying to follow the scripture. This is an old English phrase in which some things are implied that they knew. But the Greek means, be not anxious, over-anxious, anxious, the anxiety, have not anxiety, but even one thing. That's what it means. It means don't be full of anxious care. And the other scripture is 1 Peter 5:7. That means we need to just have living faith and trust God with our lives. That doesn't mean dead faith in which you don't work. See, you don't work, you don't look for a job, you're not doing what's required of you, and expecting God to do it anyway. That's expecting God to work as a basis on the basis of dead faith. Like he said, be ye warmed and filled. And they don't give him anything to do it with. You've got to do something about it. If a man doesn't eat, therefore he should not, and we do not work, therefore he should not eat, Paul said. If he doesn't make his dead faith, I believe God's going to take care of me. He said, don't feed him. Let the deadness produce deadness. Unless he converts in the living faith and works, don't feed him. 1 Peter 5:7. People out there saying, don't you have a job? No. Praise the Lord. Well, how long do I work? Oh, 2-3 years. Are you looking? No. Well, how do you get along? Oh, the Lord provides. Meaning dad and mom, after you know all these constant letters, and it means the panhandling on the street, and it means good old Brother Jim, and it means naive Brother Sam, and you know, and all the rest, you know, giving him handouts, and as he wheedles along, and here he is, I just have faith in God. He's walking along with dead faith, and if everybody would quit giving him handouts, he'd die. Either that, he'd get to work and start making living faith. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now take this scripture and start making it living faith. Start believing it. He cares for you. Therefore, do the action of casting your faith upon your cares upon him. Cast your cares upon him. Don't just wish you could. Don't just talk about it. Don't just pray it. Do it. Make a decision to take that care and ekbalo, throw out that thing onto the Lord. And you'll see that the living faith will produce.